Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
Good morning. Good morning. Like, I ain't saying it first. There's more than me here. I can wait, yeah. Used to wait on horses. I can wait on. Because I've been married 25 years. I'm used to waiting on shopping. I'm used to waiting. So, okay. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your goodness. We give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. So, everybody have a good Thanksgiving. Amen. Everybody full. Everybody... I don't eat turkey because it reminds me of my sisters. So in honor of them, I spare the turkey, but did have some roast and some chicken. So anyway, had a great day. I'm excited for this season because it is a season we get to celebrate Jesus, right? We get to celebrate Emmanuel, what we're just singing about. Christ with us, God with us, Christ in us is what it is. And so what a great time to celebrate not just the birth of a Savior, but the birth where he wasn't just born, lived a little bit of time, then died, and then said, I'll see you in years, you know, when I come back. That's not the point of the gospel. The gospel is he was born. God loved us so much that he sent his son. And he came and he lived among us and he dwelt among us. And then he gave his life for us. But he rose again, which is pretty powerful when you think about it, right? And so that as he is, so are we here on this earth. Not as God just with us, it's Christ in us. And the Bible says that is the hope of glory. Christ in us, right here, right now. We got this thing in science, and it's called, everybody knows what it is. Time and, you know what goes with time? Space. We got scientists. Time and space. So as long as we're in this world, we're in what? Time. And where do we live? In space, right? We're in space. And so when I think about time and space and the time that God came for us and that at just the right time he sent his son and his name was what? Jesus, right? I was reading in Ecclesiastes 3, and I'm just going to, I wanted to read a little bit because it says there's a time for everything. And so Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says this, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Watch this, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. See, I wouldn't have even known this scripture existed if it wasn't for Kevin Bacon, by the way. Older people will. Most, not older people, young people like me will remember that movie, right? Right? So a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And then it says this, what does a worker gain from all from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on me, and he has made everything beautiful in its time. Now think about that. He's saying when it came time for Jesus, it was just at the right time. Right? It was a time that was a point, even though God, how many of you guys know that God is not in time or space? He is in time and space, but he also is above. He's in eternity, right? And so, but he also knows what time it is. Like he's got to watch, right? Because he created it, right? As long as we're in this physical world and we're living from the flesh, we're operating in time and space. But God is operating in eternity. Well, Pastor James, I don't believe that. Well, let me read on. Watch this. This is science class, by the way. Like, I should get paid double. Because, like, I'm not just teaching scripture, I'm teaching science, right? Watch this. He has also set eternity in where? In the what? In the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. So now all we have in time is what? Now. We can't do nothing about the past. We can live right now, and how we live right now can affect where we're going in the future. But to be honest, all we have is right now, right? And that's where I think that we find the kingdom of God, is his ever-present. It's his presence. What does that mean, his presence? He's ever-present help in the time of need. It means that right now, now is the time of what? Salvation. Right? When you think about it. When is the time of salvation? Now. When is God with us? Right? When did God save us? Now. He already did it. But we have it when? Right now. Well, now when do we have it? Right now. It's still right now. We're always living in the present. And when we're present with God, we're living in his presence. You get it? It's in his presence. I used to always go to church and go, I just got to go to that church building because I can really feel the presence of God. Right? And what happened was I'd be so enamored in going and praising and worshiping that I could literally feel the presence of God coming down and touching my heart. And what was really happening was I was not in time or space anymore, but I was worshiping from my heart and living in eternity present with the creator of the universe. And then I could feel his presence. And then breakthroughs can start happening because I'm not focused on my problem. Now I'm focused on the solution, which is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that's bigger than anything we could ever face. And then go and we're worshiping him. And that's why worship is so powerful. And I'm so thankful. Yeah, Jim and all you guys do such a great job. It's because what it literally does is it suspends time and space. And brings us into eternity, which is really just present. It brings it to our heart. And that's where the key is. It's right where? It's in our heart. Right? And so now, here he is. I'm in your presence. But what's crazy is when I walk out, I guess God stayed at the church. Right? Because like I had to go to that church building. There's things I do outside the church building, but there's no way I would do it or think it inside the church building because that's God's house. God, the only one ever lived like that. That's a crazy way. Oh, we got to honor God's house, right? You don't want to go to church. That building, you can meet God right there in that building. And it's true. You can. Is God's presence here? Absolutely. But guess who is also a house? I am. The Bible says that I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. Guess where the presence of God goes? Everywhere I go. Why? Because I am a house. I am a temple. I am a walking presence of God. And I have eternity written in my heart. It's like I have, that's our spirit man, right? The flesh man dies, but the spirit man lives for eternity, right? There's no beginning and end. It just is. And that's why, like, I think a lot of us need to have a Moses experience in the desert with the burning bush again. Where God says, he says, I am that I am. And he's only saying, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. What is he saying? It's holy ground when you realize that the presence of the living God, the King of the universe, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, is at home right here in you. I was like, wow, that's kind of, ooh, Pastor James. I didn't write the book, man. You're in church. You don't think God's woo-woo? I mean, have you read this book? It's a spiritual book. And when you apply the spiritual principles, it will affect from the spirit realm the time and space and everything that God created. Creation didn't come out of time and space. Creation come out of God himself, out of his word. So if creation comes out of his word, how come everything else doesn't all of a sudden? Think about that. Now watch this. I'm going to take you to Mark. Let me read this in Romans first on the way to Mark. Actually, I'm going to pass Mark because I passed it, but I want to read. And it says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it or the flesh. But if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. What's he talking about? He's saying we submit to God, we submit our flesh, we submit, okay, I'm going to make and effect this change, like me in the mirror, trying to fix my hair in the mirror. Right? I can't do it in the mirror. I got to go right here to the source. Where's the source? It's in our heart. Out of the abundance of the what? The heart, the mouth what? Speaks, right? Everything flows from the heart. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he, right? Everything comes back to our heart. Why? That's our spirit, man. That's what we live. Are we just looking at the things we can see, right? Because what we can see is temporal, right? But what we can't see is eternal. Do you have to see it to believe it, or do you believe it because God said it? And when you come into agreement with what God says, it drops in your heart, and now you experience what God said. And you're not trying to affect the change just by might. The Bible says it's not by might nor by power, but by a lot of hard work. If you have a great education, if you have the right insider trading, right? You know the right doctors, right? No. It's not by might nor by power, but what? By my spirit, says the Lord. And he says, who are you, O mountain, to stand before Zerubbabel? Like, I just flattened you. Like, my mom used to say, she's like, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. That's what God's saying to that mountain. Look, mountain, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. Who are you to stand before me? Nothing. It's nothing. So are we going to live by what we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell? Or are we going to say, you know what? This is great, but this does not control me. Time and space does not control me. The physical realm does not control me. Circumstances does not control me. You know what God created us to do? To allow Him to work through us, and He can take over and collapse time and space. Oh, you don't believe me? There's this dude at this pool. He's at the swimming pool. And every time the angel would come along and he would trouble the waters, and when you jumped in the swimming pool, the lifeguard would make you get out. No. And every time they jumped in the pool, do you know what happened? The first one in was what? Was healed. So Jesus visits this place, right? And there's this dude, and he's laying there by the pool. And Jesus comes along, and he says, hey, do you want to be healed? And he says, you know what, dude, I appreciate it, but I've been here for years and years and years, and I've seen so many people jump in the pool and get out of the pool, and they've got healed. But the problem is I don't have a man. That's his exact words. I don't have a man to help me get to that pool. And you know what Jesus said? That's too bad, buddy. You're just stuck. You've been stuck for years because you've been waiting on a man to fix your problem. When he had the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he had healing himself. He had life himself standing in front of him. So Jesus says what? He says, just stay here. You know, it'll all be better later. He said, pick up your bed and walk. He said, see, you didn't have to have a man. You didn't even have to have other people. It's not by might. It's not by your power. But it was by His Spirit. In one moment, He went from being sick, from being lame, from being downcast with no hope because He was waiting on a man to help Him. And Jesus like, you don't need a man. In fact, we don't even need to get you wet. He said, pick up your bed and walk. He was resting, and it's good to rest, but he was resting on a man to take him to the water and get him there in time. What are you resting on? What are you trusting? Do you believe everything you see? Well, I got this bad report, or this thing's coming in my life and it looks hopeless. Greater is He that is in me than he that is where? In the world. In time and space. Time, space, and matter, actually. Right? I should write that because I think it does matter. I love myself sometimes. If I can find it. Time, space, and matter. He didn't have to wait no longer for time. When God healed him, he collapsed the space and changed the matter. What's the matter with you? What matters to you? What are you waiting on to fix yourself, or waiting on a man to fix for you, or waiting on the government to fix for you, or waiting on your spouse to fix for you? Okay, if you need to fix them for your spouse, you might want to do that. Right? But what are you waiting on that matters to you? And you think, oh, well, it's only going to take time. I just got to work harder. I just got to pray harder. You know what? I don't believe God enough. So when I finally believe God enough, then He'll do something about it. That's the biggest crock of horse pooey. It's not about your faith. It's about His faith working in and through you. Remember the dude that came to Jesus and he said, do you believe? And he said, I believe, but to help my unbelief. I believe you, Father. I believe you, Jesus, but help my unbelief. And you know what Jesus said? You know what? Come back when you completely believe. You need to read the Word again. You need to study the Bible some more. And then when you come back, I'll do something about it, right? You know what Jesus did? What did he do? Healed him. He healed him. Wait a second, but he had some unbelief. Yeah, but he had some belief too. If you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain. Now that takes pressure off of us, right? So now watch this. I'm going to go into Mark chapter 4. Verse 1, it says this. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, listen. So he said, Shema. In Hebrew, Shema doesn't just mean listen, but it means hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God. He's the creator. The I am that I am is the creator. He is the Echad. He's the one. And he says, love him with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your heart, with all your strength, right? In your heart. Hear. So Jesus is saying, Shema. He's saying, hear. Not just with these ears, but with your spiritual ears. He said, I want you to hear it where it drops down into your heart. Not just hear it where you think about it, but it drops down into your heart. Because it always starts. You hear it, and you start thinking about it, and then it's head, heart, and then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Out of your heart flows the wellspring of life. So everything that you do is because of what you believe in your heart. You can have a head knowledge, but if you don't have the heart belief, it will inhibit you. That's why God's like, where's God at? In our heart. We invite Jesus to come into where? Into our heart. Why? Because that's where life springs from. That's where he can flow. What's in our heart affects what we do. Head, heart, hands. Faith comes by what? By what?
Hearing.
Do you know where doubt comes from too? If faith comes from hearing, where does doubt come from hearing? You know, it's great that Jesus healed that man at the pool of Bethesda, but he don't do that stuff no more. Oh, I didn't know that. So what happens? Someone's head knowledge got in the way of the truth of God's heart that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he done it then, he can do it again. Just like, watch this, the first dude that ever ran the 4-minute mile. Everyone said it was impossible. And you know what this dude does? He goes out and does it. Do you know how long it took for the next person to do it? Not very long. And it wasn't just one person doing it. It was a bunch of people doing it. Right now, it's not uncommon to run the 4-minute mile. But at one time, it was impossible. What is impossible for you is possible for God. What's impossible for the flesh, when you walk in eternity, when you walk in the spirit, will collapse time, space, and matter. It's fact. It's scripture. It's Bible. It's how God created the universe. I didn't create the universe. I didn't write this book. And this is not something I come up with. If you don't like it, take it up with him. But these are truths that we need to know, right? Jesus, who's talking here? Jesus is talking. I think we should give him a little bit of credit. Listen, a farmer went out to sow a seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Now, I want to read this. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. What is the seed he's sowing? The word of God. So see, some falls on the ground and it's shallow, and so when the heat comes, like it burns it up, and you're like, well, God didn't really mean it. What is it saying? It didn't drop into the heart, right? And then others on rocky ground. What's that? Oh, the soil's been, like the heart's been worked, but there's rocks in it, and it landed on a rock. And so now when everything gets rocky and rolling, kind of like Peter walking on water, everything was rocking and rolling. He invented rock and roll. And forget the moonwalk, he had the water walk. Right? What happened to Peter? When he looked at the wind, he said, oh, I can't walk on the water when the wind's blowing and the waves are going. And he sinks. But then it says the word, the seed sown, right, can still produce on good soil 30, 60, and 100 fold. You're like, well, I must be shallow. I must be rocky ground. No, you're not. It's about your heart. What are you listening to? What are you, because what you listen to pretty soon will convince you to believe that. Are you listening to what God says, or are you listening to what the news says? Are you listening to what God says, or those people that don't like you say it? Are you listening to what God says, or what your bank account says? Are you listening to what God says, or just what the doctor said? Doctors are good, but we have a final authority, and his name is Jesus. It's all good, but everything comes back to one person, and his name is what? Jesus. That gives us hope. That gives us a future. Some 30-fold. Well, what is 30? 30 in Hebrew means spiritual maturity and divine timing. It's not about the natural timing. It's about God's timing. Maybe you need healed. Maybe you need a miracle. Maybe you need peace. Do you know when it's available to you? Yeah. Now. Because he's a great I am. It doesn't say, he didn't say at the burning bush, he didn't say, I was a great I was. He did say, I am the God of your fathers, Abraham and Jacob. He said, I am. I am the great I am. That means, When you stand in him, you stand in his word, when you stand in his presence, everything you need is available, and he's a God who can make miracles happen because he is a miracle. You're a miracle. The fact that you even won the human lottery to get here is a miracle. You matter more than matter. Are you going to trust him? Our choice. As the earth continues, seed time and harvest. But in Christ, there's only now. So I like this. When you sow, it's called the law of gender. You know what that means? If you plant an apple tree, you might get strawberries. Right? No. If I plant an apple tree, oh, I'll get cherries. Apricots? Okay. So if I have a horse and I breed the horses and I have a cow. No. Why? Because it's not the right gender, right? So what happens if I sow the word? What am I going to get? I'm going to get the word. So what do I need? I need a promise. I'm going to sow God's promises. And there's a bunch of them in here. And every one of them is maybe. And conditional, right? No. Every one of them is what? Yes and amen. So I'm going to sow the word, right? And as I sow the word, what happens? The word comes out. It produces. And what does the Bible say? Some 60, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Spiritual maturity and divine timing is 30, 60, 30. Do you know what that is? That's 60 is 30. A score is 20, right? So you got 60, and it means to uphold and to support. So in sowing the word in our heart, we get spiritual maturity and divine timing, which means that God collapses time, space, and matter and overrules that. Because he is the king of the what? Universe, right? And it upholds us and it supports us as we sow what? The word. And then 100 means fullness. It means life. You know what? Jesus is our life. He's the one, he's our peace. He's the one that breaks down every wall. His name's Jesus, guys. And he's greater than anything that you're looking at, that you're hearing, that you're smelling. And yes, I did use deodorant. He's greater than all that. His name is Jesus. Fullness, life, God's perfection and faithfulness. Man, if I'm going to reap something, I want to reap from the Spirit. If I'm going to live from something, I want to live from the Spirit. As those who are led by the Spirit of God. Oh, wait, no. Those who are led by time, space, and matter. You're not living. You're living way below your station. Scripture says the earth groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. Who is that? That's me. Those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. And we call out, Abba, Father. That's where we cry out, Father, from. Amen? Very powerful when you think about how big and how great God is. This season, I want you to think about Emmanuel. God, not just God with us, but Christ in us. You being the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, and that nothing is impossible except the things that are impossible. Nothing's impossible with God, right? You know what nothing means in the Scripture? Nothing. Nothing. So lean on Him, trust Him, and just let Him work through you by the power of His Spirit. And I just pray for every situation right now, everything that seems impossible, everything that seems like it's running out of time. I thank you, Father, that we just usurp that time and declare your divine timing, your perfection, your fullness, your life, and that you bring it to pass, and that you bring the solution to pass right now. And so we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.